Our first public hearing is conditional use number 1817, Colonial Leased East Limited.
This is an application to amend ordinance number 1187 for conditional use number 1198, a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an expansion of an existing manufactured home park by adding 82 lots to be referred to as phase two to the currently constructed 108 lots being phase one, creating a manufactured home community of 190 lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, Delaware, containing 55.29 acres more or less, lying on the northeast corner of the intersection of U.S. Route 9 and Minus Conaway Road, being Road 265. Gentlemen, for the record, we received two agency comments on this application. First one being from the Sussex County Engineering Department in the form of a memorandum. It's dated November 13th. Makes reference to this application, the location, the number of lots proposed, the size of the acreage. The site is located in the West Rehoboth expansionary area. Wastewater capacity is available for this project. Ordinance 38 construction will be required. The current system connection charge rate is $4,132 per EDU or equivalent dwelling unit. In reference to location and size of laterals or connection points, the potential connection points for an expansion on the main line sewer are located within the existing park. Conformity to the technical memorandum for the Graves property and North Coastal Area Planning Study will be required. The project proposes to add an additional 82 units to an existing manufactured home park for 108 previously approved lots. The proposed project is within the West Rehoboth expansion area for central sewer, and connection to the sewer system is mandatory. Project exceeds planning study and system design assumption for sewer service. Downstream pump station number 207 requires immediate upgrades. County is in the process of accepting plans and executing an agreement with area developers for the upgrade of pump station 207. The agreement will include the applicant, being Colonial East LP, for the proposed expansion of the existing manufactured home community. Pump station upgrades will be undertaken by the developer of the Vineyards at Nassau Valley project. When that agreement is final and all other requirements are complete with the sewer system and the proposed expansion of the manufactured home community, the developer will be allowed to connect up to 25 units of the proposed expansion. The remaining 57 lots will be permitted to connect after upgrades to pump station 207 are complete and beneficial acceptance has been approved by Sussex County. A schedule for the execution of the agreement with developers, including the Vineyards at Nassau Valley and completion of upgrades to pump station 207, is uncertain at this time. The proposed development will require the developer installed collection system in accordance with county standards, requirements, and procedures. The connection point must be approved by the county engineer. A sewer concept plan must be submitted for review and approval prior to construction plan approval. A checklist for preparing sewer concept plans is attached. One-time system connection charges will apply and provide the contact person and phone number for additional information. Payment of system connection is required prior to issuance of building permits. Sewer hookup permits will not be issued until any necessary off-site upgrades have been completed and the County Council has approved beneficial acceptance of the collection system. Any questions? Will be directed, and they provide a contact person and phone number. And a concept plan is required, and that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning, and attached to the checklist for preparation of plans. The second agency is a letter from the Office of Management and Budget, State Planning Coordination Office. And referencing this application, the letter was dated July 29th and received on August 4th of 2008. Thanking for the opportunity to consider the above-mentioned conditional use application for the proposed project of Sussex West, the construction of 82 mobile homes on approximately 22 acres within eastern Sussex County near Lewis. As your office is aware, this project was seen through the PLUS review process in February 2006, and the state provided comments on a proposed, which included the necessary regulatory requirements for construction and possible impacts to the local area. The developer provided comments on the information provided by the state and made improvements when necessary, and upon receipt of these modifications, this office provided no further objection, allowing the project to proceed through the county processes. Based upon a recent conversation with Kevin Burdett of McCrone Incorporated, the proposed project will be required to be reviewed by the county again as part of a Delaware Chancellor Court decision, citing a technicality as a means to avoid the conditional use application and supporting Sussex County ordinance. At the request of the applicant and to further assist in this required resubmittal, this office has reviewed the materials provided by the applicant, and based upon this revised information, find that the applicant has made no significant changes to the project, with exceptions to those meeting regulatory requirements and conditional use, and conditional use is identified by the county and will not require the proposal to be resubmitted to PLUS for review by the state. And that's signed by Brian Hall, Principal Planner. For the benefit of the commission, and to save time and not having to listen to me read, I passed down copies of a letter from David Shivak, a resident on Linus Conaway Road. It's a 2-page letter, and attached to that was about three pages that was sent to Mr. Shivak from an unknown resident within the park, it appears. Also, for the benefit of the commission, I passed down copies of the minutes of the commission and the county council just for a little history. The commission meeting was January 11th of 2007, and the council meeting was June 12th of 2007. And for the record, we have received an exhibit booklet prepared by the applicants. That exhibit booklet contains an executive summary, references to existing conditions, references to proposed development concept, which also included reference in response to the subdivision considerations, compliance with the zoning requirements, complying with a comprehensive plan, compliance with Chapter 99 of the subdivision code, and it contains also approximately 27 exhibits, majority of which were maps. I also received a memo from Heidi Balliet of Tunnel and Razor, referencing that their engineer left the document out of the hearing booklet. It's to go under tab 12, and it is already a part of the file and is not new information, and I pass down a copy of that also. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before we begin, let me ask, is there anyone here this evening with an interest in this application, other than the applicant, obviously? Is there anybody else here? Okay, I just want to let you know that, you will be afforded a chance to speak. But if there are any exhibits or anything, they're very difficult to see from way back there. Please feel free to get up, move around if you have anyone that has an interest, and look at them if you like. And with that, the chair recognizes Ms. Balliet.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Heidi Balliet, and I'm with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor, and I represent the applicant for conditional use 1817, which is Colonial East LP. With me here this evening is Steve Klass, who's a partner with the applicant, and I also have Dan Speakman, who is a professional engineer with McCrone, who's the engineering firm for the project. This parcel, 13.32 acres, for which we're requesting an amended conditional use, is zoned AR1, and it's located on the northeast side of Minos Conaway Road, as Mr. Lank indicated. The property was originally approved for its original conditional use in 1985, Our client proposes to extend the current use of the property for the manufactured home park. There will be no retail sales or other buildings erected on the site. This is an appropriate type of conditional use as per the Sussex County ordinance. As required by the code, the applicant has addressed all the items set forth in the code from Section 115-72G relating to mobile home park conditional uses. We've prepared and previously submitted, as Mr. Lank had indicated, the project development booklet, which you have, and with the addition of tab number 12, which we've moved into the record. We would like to move that booklet into the record. I won't go into any further detail in conservation of time. The engineer will be addressing specific items that are listed in the booklet. I would like to address and highlight the following just for the record. The access to the site is from a public highway, which is the Minos-Conaway Road. No manufactured home sites will have direct access from that public road. All access will be from the interior roads. They are all hard surface, and they're maintained along with the current roads in accordance with the county specifications. The topography of the site will facilitate proper drainage, and Mr. Speakman will be reviewing that with you as a part of the engineering review. The size of the parcel is in excess of 13 acres, and it satisfies the minimum requirements of the code. 4, the minimum site area for each manufactured home is proposed to range in size from 6,600 square feet to 15,000 square feet, and that's more than 20% above the minimum 5,000 square foot requirement. 5, the community has a recreational area available to the park residents. The recreational area is member restricted with card access. There is a clubhouse currently on the site. And the community itself works with organizations to provide services within the community, such as the Bookmobile, Cheer, Para Services, Meals on Wheels, and the Tunnel Cancer Center. The community does allow the clubhouse to be used by various organizations, such as the Delaware Division of Aging, other community local homeowners associations, charitable organizations, community groups, one such as the Red Hat Society, and other public and private agencies. 6, the park does have a vegetative buffer surrounding the boundary lines of the property, which remains free of buildings and streets. 7, the proper setbacks between the buildings has been followed and will continue to comply with those as required under the code. 8, there is interior driveway access to each home, which will provide the required parking spaces. 9, there are no retail services provided nor requested with the application. 10, the property is serviced by central water and sewer. There are proper electrical connections and fire protection throughout the community. 11, there is also trash collection provided within the community. 12, the site is a manufactured housing community permitting multi-sectional housing. It is not single width allowable. The community is restricted for housing type. It's also restricted for age, those adults 55 and older. There's no sheds permitted on any one of the sites, but they do allow for garages to be incorporated with the permitted structures. It's our request for 82 additional housing sites to be located within the community. These sites are leased only, and they are subject to the community restrictions that are already in place. There are no current violations pending for the community. It is a clean and attractive to area residents, and there is a great demand for these affordable home sites, and the demand list keeps growing. And as many of you may be familiar, the applicant has been involved with and spearheaded many state and local regulations relating to manufactured housing and leased land. Mr. Class can give firsthand information on the demands in Sussex County for this type of affordable housing, as well as providing such housing in a safe and healthy environment. The applicant will work with DelDOT, and they have in the past, to minimize the traffic impact in this area and has proposed solutions to DelDOT for this growing area, such as installing and relocating bus stops that can support the residents of this particular community. Traffic impact to the site will be minimal based on the fact that there are two entrances to the site, and this community is an established facility. The visibility on this section of the roadway is very good. The community is currently monitored with speed signs and radar. There are no speed bumps. The interior streets are 100% maintained by the applicant. The proposed use is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, since the parcel for which the conditional use is sought is in the environmentally sensitive developing area which permits this type of residential use proposed by the client. The residential use proposed will be consistent with the use in the general area. The use will not be a risk to the environment since the property has central water and sewer, and there will be no discharges or effluents that could affect any environmentally insensitive areas in close proximity to the site. There would be no adverse impact on surrounding property values or other neighboring uses. The client's proposed use is an extension of the current facility and is consistent with other residential uses in the general vicinity of the proposed site. The socioeconomic benefit of the applicant's business is that it will provide needed, affordable housing to the growing 55 and older population. The applicant's current facility is in acceptance with this extension. Since Mr. Class and his company has demonstrated by its operation of the current community during the last 20 or more years that it runs a neat and orderly facility, the county can be assured that this extension will be operated in the same like manner. As indicated previously, this proposed site is located in an area which has already been deemed to be suitable for such use under the current comprehensive development plan by promoting the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. And the adoption of the conditional use ordinance, as well as the amendment to the previously issued conditional use ordinance, is for the general convenience and welfare of the inhabitants of Sussex County. I'll have Mr. Speakman come forward and address some of the engineering issues.
Good evening. First, for the record, I would like to spell out that
For the record, you need to state your name and your qualifications.
Dan Speakman. I work for McKern Incorporated, and I'm a professional engineer registered in the state of Delaware.
Outstanding. Now go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to clarify the project area. The existing phase is 34.5 acres of land with 108 lease-only lots. That's what's existing out there right now. We're proposing an additional 82 lots on, that would be 20.79 acres. The entire parcel is 55.29 acres. There was another figure thrown out around 13 acres, but that's not what we're doing here. So for the record, that's the area. I'd like to discuss a couple points that I think are key regarding the engineering of this site. First of all, with regards to the existing terrain and surrounding area, the project is adjacent to four subdivisions: Red Mill Farm subdivision to the north, Brittany Acres to the west, Sussex East to the east, and the reserves at Lewis Landing across Route 9 to the south. There are very few trees that will be anticipated to be removed because there's an existing tree buffer along Minusconaway Way. It is in the client's best interest to leave those trees there. So any trees that are going to have grading activities near them will be protected. As I said, there needs to be a 50-foot forested indoor landscape buffer, and that exists along Minusconaway and will be maintained. In terms of wetlands and floodplains, there are no mapped wetlands on the plan as delineated by Becker Morgan in June of 1999. The site has no mapped floodplains on it. In terms of natural and historic features, the Department of Ag has no objections to the proposed project, and there is no construction proposed within any natural wooded areas that might endanger some culturally special areas. The historic sites were located far enough away from the site that construction activities will not affect them. And they were mentioned in the original plus comments, and we responded to those plus comments. In terms of open space and scenic views, this subdivision will provide 23% open space, which amounts to 12.63 acres when it's completed. The requirement for AR1 is 10%. In terms of grading and soil removal, the site is very flat and it generally slopes to the south towards the existing lease area with the 108 lots. It will drain to an existing stormwater management pond that was designed for the build-out condition, which is the entirety of the lots that are existing and proposed. Grade changes will be limited to what's necessary to provide buildable lots and adequate positive drainage. In terms of screening, as I mentioned before, there will be a 50-foot wide forested and landscaped buffer. There's a railroad to the north. There is no screening required between Sussex East and Sussex West. So that covers the boundary of the site. Water supply, Tidewater Utilities will provide sufficient capacity for potable water and fire protection, and we have a notice of intent to serve. As was said earlier, the site lies in the West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District, and there is an agreement to upgrade the pump station. Pump station 207 is on the northwest corner of the site. There's an existing gravity collection system for the existing 108 lots, and we will tie into that system, and it will gravity drain to PS 207. 207 will be upgraded. In terms of surface and groundwater pollution prevention, all runoff will be directed via the community drainage system and open drainage system to an existing stormwater detention basin. That detention basin is in the southwest corner, at the corner of Route 9 and Linus Conaway. It has been designed to accept the additional flows from the full build-out. We are intending to construct this subdivision open section, meaning it'll have roadside ditches, and we will be employing additional stormwater best management practices in order to encourage recharge and promote water quality. Through employment of these BMPs, runoff will be received better treatment than during pre-developed conditions. We will provide an erosion and sediment control plan. It will be reviewed by Sussex Conservation District. As I said, there's an existing pond. It was approved under the 108 lot plan, and it was designed, like I said, for the additional lots. It was actually designed for 84 lease lots, and we're only proposing 82. We have consulted with SCD, and they'll want to see some computations just to show that we're consistent with the originally approved plan. In the project area, we will be focusing on using groundwater recharge stormwater BMPs in order to encourage groundwater recharge. The entrance onto Minas Conaway was designed to meet DLDOT standards. We have an approved plan dated 1999. That accounts for 84 additional lots in addition to the 108 lots. In other words, it was designed for this build-out condition. It is approved, and the bonds have been released, and we don't anticipate any further improvements to that due to the additional traffic generated by the 82 additional lease lots. Also, there's a second exit out of the subdivision. We believe that there will not be an effect on area property values because this use is consistent with adjacent uses and its infill development. And if you'll see this exhibit here, you can see the different proposed and existing subdivisions in the region. And you can see it's surrounded by a considerable amount of subdivision. And there are both single family homes and also these lease lot arrangements in the vicinity and adjacent to this project. In terms of preservation and conservation of farmland, this is infill development. There is no anticipated effects on schools, public buildings, or community facilities because this is a 55-plus retirement community. As such, it will not produce an additional burden to existing schools in the area. The existing residents and the new residents will enjoy the community recreation facilities that have already been provided in the existing phase. We do not anticipate an adverse effect on the area roadways because the traffic calculated by this additional lease lots was accounted for in the original calculations for the existing entrance onto Minas Conaway. Don't expect any negative effect on area waterways because we will be providing the water quality best management practices. And as I said, there's an existing stormwater management facility that has been approved by Sussex Conservation District. That concludes my discussion of the engineering aspects of this.
All right, sir, we thank you.
Thank you.
If you have to take any questions you have.
All right, we'll see if anybody has any for you.
Okay.
And we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the commission, could you share with us what has changed since 1997 when this was originally approved in a prior conditional use?
What has changed in the community itself?
What's changed that would warrant this coming before us for additional units when it was approved in 1997 for X number of units based on the total acreage?
Well, as a conditional use, it's up to the county to approve, and they have the right to modify the community at our request. So that's why we're here, is we're asking for those to be changed.
So what really is being asked is that we reconsider the total number of units for the total acreage, not just for this parcel, or are you just asking for this parcel alone?
It's all one parcel of land.
Okay.
So the conditional use that exists applies to the entire portion, and we're asking for that to be modified.
And would you be able to provide the commission with the basis for which we would be able to subdivide area that's supposed to be set aside as open space in the community, that's supposed to be set aside for the use of all the current residents?
State that question.
Okay. I'm seeking the basis upon which the commission is able to take open space that was previously to be set aside for the benefit of all the residents and now create additional lots out of what was designated as open space.
That section was designated open space. I believe that was, in fact, on the original plan, I believe it was designated as future lease lots. Actually, I don't have that.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's, is that true? I mean.
Has there been anybody produce a plan from that? I mean, I think that would be a fairly important thing to establish if we.
I can.
If you would, Mr. Lang.
Keep asking questions and I'll go grab them.
I'll do my best.
you want to adjourn for 5 minutes?
Well, I would even say, even if it were set aside as open space at that time, if we're still not barred from coming and asking the county for a modification to relook at the site as it exists in and of itself as a whole.
Okay.
I think what drove it, Mr. Johnson, was not so much what was open space or what was not. It was the number of units or the density that was permitted on the original one.
Which was 2 per acre, which is compatible with AR1 district at the time?
Well, it was, without having that ordinance in front of me, it was a lesser number. I think it was 2 per acre. But and then they chose to, if I recall, that's just the way they did their site plan design, was to put that 2 per acre on that front section of the project.
And I think if we were coming in as a straight subdivision, it would be a different situation. We're coming in as a conditional use, which the county has the right to re-review what they've done in the past and see if this is actually something that is acceptable to the county as we've proposed it.
While Lawrence is looking for that information, changing to recreational facilities, what do they currently consist of?
We have a clubhouse. We have a pool. I'm sorry, we do not have a pool. The community facility is available to all to use.
So you have a clubhouse?
Yes.
So there's not any walking trails or biking trails or tot lots or multi-sport courts or?
Other than the interior roadways that are there, no.
And presently, how many people would you estimate have access to the clubhouse?
Other than the residents,
mm-hmm.
it is open. They can contact the community or the office that Mr. Class has and register to use it.
Well, currently there's 108 units that are in Sussex West. Is that,
mm-hmm.
am I correct?
That is correct.
And how about Sussex East? Are they able to use the facilities as well?
Yes.
And approximately how many units are in Sussex East?
187. Thank you.
So then it's safe to say we have 295 units that are available to use the facilities, and we're you're proposing an additional 82 without any additional recreational facilities.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
And we wouldn't necessarily need a tot lot, as you proposed earlier. With it being a 55, an older community, there's not a lot of children that are there.
I'm sure they don't have any grandchildren, do they?
Well, I'm sure they do, but.
Thank you. And as I see on the proposed site plan, there's not any provision other than the roadways for people to bike or to walk. There's no walking trails being offered or proposed.
No.
And on the section where you're proposing to put the 82 units, how much of that space would you guesstimate is open space? Which doesn't include, you know, individual lot lines and that sort of thing.
Just one moment.
Okay.
Phase two, we are proposing a total of 2.85 acres of open space.
And that would consist of the little oblong area and I'm assuming the 50-foot buffer?
That'd be correct.
And what's proposed to be in that oblong area?
The oblong area will be a grass stormwater management feature. It will not be a stormwater pond.
And what's a grass stormwater management feature?
It's going to encourage groundwater recharge.
Okay. Because as I understand, this area is in an excellent recharge area?
That's correct.
And approximately what percentage of that area will be not available for recharge? I forget the engineering term for that.
The impervious area.
Thank you. Impervious. One of those big words I forget.
It's under.
No pressure. Take your time. It's just 30 or 40 people waiting for you. No big deal. Actually, do take your time. It's more important that you have the right answer than the fast answer. So, in the meantime, Mr. Link, were you able to hunt up that drawing for us?
I went. I pulled the site plan file for the manufactured home community, and it's the area of 20.36 acres is actually labeled as Colonial East Limited Undeveloped Area. And it's inclusive within the boundaries of the original conditional use. And the open space and community recreation area is actually a 7.83-acre parcel, which includes the original residence and the manor house, what's called the manor house, out in the green space out front.
This is from the 1997?
Yeah, this is actually, this copy was actually dated October 19th of 98.
I was the only one here then. you fellows that are on the commission now, I will share with you that was typically the way at that time that land that was simply undeveloped was referred to, and it was probably specifically not referred to as open space for the reasons that you're concerned about, probably. And I'm just telling you that's how that was done at that time. Is that a fair statement, Mr. Lang?
That's true. But typically, the open space requirements are only 300 square foot per lot.
Yeah,
which doesn't amount to very much at all. And they've got
it was a fairly typical way to refer to land that you might do something with later.
Not included in open space.
Right. It wasn't designated as open space, but understanding now that 11 years ago, there was a different view than you have today. But that's correct. I mean, it was not designated to be open space. It was simply designated as undeveloped land. Okay.
The impervious cover will be approximately 37.5%, which is consistent, generally consistent with the first phase of Sussex Drive. We realize that we fall under the source water protection ordinance since we are in an excellent recharge area. Since we fall between 20 and 50% imperviousness, there are certain things that we'll have to comply with, and our design will reflect that. Basically, we need to encourage groundwater recharge, which is the purpose of those EMPs that I've pointed out and discussed.
And if your project was looked upon favorably, would you be able to put in walking trails or sidewalks to provide for safe pedestrian travel within this section of the community?
Bearing in mind it's a conditional use, so we have a fair amount of latitude on what can and cannot be required. So.
I ask a question to your question.
Sure.
Because in the source water protection ordinance, I think they request that you try to omit sidewalks where possible in order to limit the impervious area. That's why we stuck with open section road.
And in response to your question, I noted throughout the plus comments that there was recommendations for biking trails and sidewalks as well.
Acknowledged.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I don't have any more questions right now.
Okay, well, if you think of anything else, we'll come back to you. Okay, Mr. Burton.
You mentioned that this was approved through DLDOT in 1997. Is there any change that should be considered for now?
Yeah. This, okay. Go right in.
Did you say that was 12?
We have an updated permit approval from DLDOT for the site.
In this?
No, he's going to be moving it in for you to view.
Okay, so it's not in the material we have now.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, since you're asking, we can directly
hand it up.
You.
Yeah. Mr. Lank, please.
That would go under tab 17 if it is under that tab. If you'd
what
like
would
to
the improvements
we'll
be.
Make sure it gets filed there.
Tab 17.
There are no additional improvements that they required.
What you submitted with us.
Okay.
A copy of a site plan approved in 1999.
That is correct.
So you say you have an update from DLDOT that said you don't need any additional improvements?
One of the documents in the correspondence is that a final inspection was conducted on February 12, 2008, and there is a update. There is a letter proving the entrance on June 4th, 2008, and that is the last document under tab 17.
That's already in the document?
Mm-hmm. That is in your booklet, right, currently.
I wanted to add this plan so you can see the signature and see the layout of the entrance.
So they approved the entrance. Was there any mention to any additional either right-of-ways or multimodal pass or anything like that along 9? Any help with any lights or anything?
The plus comments
along
do refer to that, right, and we will coordinate with DLDOT to provide whatever they require. In terms of the entrance itself onto Minas Conaway, it would appear that entrance has been designed according to their standards and is approved as is for the number of lots that are proposed and built out.
Can I interrupt something? Is that, so I'm clear, is that for the number of lots that we're talking about, the additional lots? Because I read that letter, and I'm not sure it's, yeah, maybe it is, but I'm not sure it clearly says that.
The plan that I just submitted to you shows the two phases. Up in the upper left-hand corner, there's a computation for the number of lots and the traffic that will be generated by said lots, and it includes both phase one and phase two, and you'll see that it's actually for 84 lots instead of the 82 that we're proposing. So I believe based on that documentation, that entrance is sufficient. So they'll not advise us otherwise.
And typically if the commission and the council were to approve this project, they're going to ask you to get a confirmation from Delta to verify that that entrance is as built will provide necessary improvements to serve the project. Basically, another update letter. Sanders, basically, there's no need for any additional improvements.
And this would be both entrances?
The other entrance actually doesn't even have any calculations for these number of lots, so the entrance of King's Crossing onto Minus Conaway was the only entrance computed for all of those, for the build-out.
And so all of the 84 in that assumption would use Minus Conaway and not cut through the...
In terms of computation, yes. So basically what that's saying is there's additional capacity since there's a second entrance.
No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Forty?
No questions at this time.
Okay, Mr. Smith?
No, sir. No questions.
Okay. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Johnson, do you have something else?
I do, sir.
All right, go right ahead.
I was wondering, do we have a...
No, I was just telling Rick we'd get to him in a second.
All right. I was wondering if we have a copy of the conditions that were imposed by the county council back in 1997 as it pertains to this project.
What I gave you was a copy of the January 2007 for conditional use 1675 and a copy of the January 11th. Yeah. And then a copy of the February 20th, 2007 old business decision. And then a copy of the minutes of June 12th of 2007 by the council in rendering their decision.
But do we have a copy of the 1997?
Mr. Lank, I believe they're printed in the proposed ordinance that was generated for the hearing tonight.
Are you looking for the conditions or the findings?
Both.
You're talking about the original decision of Sussex East, not Sussex West.
But I'm referring back to when this was originally approved back in 1997 to have the 108 homes placed on the total of 54 acres.
Ordinance 1187, is that, I believe, what you're referring to?
Copy it.
Bear with me a second.
Well, when they approve it, it becomes an ordinance.
When you approve it, it becomes an ordinance. It's not.
I have a copy of ordinance number 1187, which is condition use 1198, the original approval. I do not have a copy of the minutes, but I have a copy of the council's decision.
Well, the conditions would be in the decision, wouldn't they?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what you're looking for.
That's what I'm looking for.
The findings and the conditions and the whole thing.
There were... nine conditions of approval. There were also seven findings. There were specific findings, plus a few paragraphs, but there were seven specific. You want to read the nine? So it's on record?
Sure.
Bear with me. The ordinance was adopted subject to the following conditions. The preliminary site plan shall be required to be reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee and the Planning and Zoning Commission. Two, the preliminary site plan shall include a phasing schedule and projected development timetable. The phasing schedule may include an average of 25 units per year, not exceeding 35 units per year in any one given year. Three, the development shall comply with requirements of DLDOT regarding entrance improvements, a street connection to the existing Sussex East development, construction of a sheltered bus stop on Route 9, of a design and location acceptable to DLDOT, and no signs advertising commercial use shall be directed towards Route 9. Four, the lots may be developed at a minimum of 5,000 square feet per lot, and the number of lots shall not exceed 108 per lease only. Five, the development shall be served by Central Sewer as part of the existing West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Six, the development shall be served by a central water system, including fire protection. Seven, a 50-foot buffer shall be maintained along the southerly, westerly, and northerly boundaries of the site. The existing growth along the northerly and westerly boundaries will be preserved subject to appropriate pruning. The southerly boundary along Route 9 will be appropriately landscaped, which will provide visual screening at the rear of residential dwellings. Fencing shall be installed parallel to the railroad right-of-way acceptable to Delaware Transit Authority per DLDOT recommendations. The buffer landscape planning, layout, and design shall be subject to approval of the Office of the State Forester and the Planning and Zoning Commission. Eight, final plans shall be submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission for review upon receipt of all appropriate agency approvals and or permits. And nine, amenities shall be required by the Planning and Zoning Commission after the completion of the construction of 75 units.
And that was for the 55 acres, right?
That was for 55.29 acres, right.
Thank you.
Anything else, sir?
I'm good.
You good for now? Okay. Mr. Couts.
Just as part of that, what was just read, I think it'd be appropriate to address the council or the commission to a paragraph that was in the findings that, quote, the council found that a reduction in the number of units to a maximum of 108 will result in a density which is compatible with the AR agricultural residential zoning of the surrounding area. That was also part of the findings that justified the 108. And I use that as background. The question I have, I think when we started this, somebody clarified the record that this was a request for 82 units on 21 acres. And if I'm not mistaken, that's roughly 4 units an acre, correct?
The math is correct. I don't believe that. I think we're adding to the overall density of the 55 acres.
I thought, again, I may have misheard you, but I thought you said you were clarifying the record that it was 21 acres and 82 units. That's what the conditional use was for.
Where the 82 lots were going to be located.
The conditional use will revise for the entire parcel the number of units from 108 to 108 and 82, the 192 total units over 55 acres.
It's an amendment to the original ordinance, and the original ordinance dealt with whatever it is, the 55 acres. So
if you take the two together, we end up with 190 units on 55 acres, which was the original request, right? More or less.
It works out to a 3.44 lots per acre density for the 55.29 acre parcel.
So where I'm going with that is the earlier question asked by the council member is, what's different now than in the original application in 97 that was reduced to 108 units? What's different?
So the overall community there is different. There are other developments in around there that
4 units an acre.
They're all varying in density size. I can't speak to each one of them, but Nassau Grove has a higher density.
Is there anything in the record that shows the number of surrounding developments that are greater than 2 units an acre?
It's not in the booklet.
That's all.
All right, sir. Grab
it. No questions.
Counselor?
I just have one question. I guess, if can you put the site plan up, the one that you were working off of? I just want to make sure that that the commission's working off the same one, because on that where it's colored, at the bottom left, at least on the site plan I'm looking at, there's lots that are part of the 82, but they're not colored on there, or?
That's correct.
Okay.
They're not part of the original either.
They're not part of the color, unfortunately.
Right. This should be color.
Yes.
There's still, there are the 82 lots, though. Okay.
Unfortunately, the color did not extend that far.
Yeah, no, that's because of, looking at that and then looking at the exhibit in the book, it's, there's some differences. That's why I want to make sure that we're looking at the same one. Okay. So the way it is, I mean, just so I'm clear, there's, the way it's numbered anyway, that's like, on, at least on the big one, 189 and 190, and then there's open space right there next to the road. Mm-hmm. I can't see from here, so I just
yes.
want to make sure.
Yes, there is.
All right. Thanks. That's all the questions I had. Thanks, Mr. Miller.
On the original plot on the north side of King's Crossing in this segment, there were actually between the proposed streets, there were five lots and one vacant space before you got to the street. So there's lot 104 through 108 would be the ones on the north side of what
that
we're calling King's
of,
Crossing.
That
they're part of the original.
Yeah.
And then lots, well, basically 95 through 103 were also a part of the original. Everything else is new.
I just want to make sure there wasn't two site plans floating around. Looking at that, all I can see is the colored part from back here.
It's not your imagination.
Yeah. That's the only question I had.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson, I have a procedural question or a record question. And I think I know the answer, but I don't want to ask you to be sure. The information, the ordinance as it exists today, that's all part of this record. Is that correct? The part of the record for this public hearing?
The ordinance, well, certainly because we're asking to amend it.
Right. Yeah. So it's all now by that being the case, are the exhibits and all the other attachments and stuff all?
No. What's part of it, unless somebody incorporates it, I guess, but there's the original public hearing back in 1997 or 96,
right.
Whenever that happened.
I mean, that's the one I'm thinking of. I know the one we had last year is not. It's done. It's been thrown out. This is a brand new.
At this point,
as if that one never happened. So that's why I'm actually going back to the 97.
No, unless it gets pulled forward, you got to rely on the testimony and things that are in the record this evening. Not, to the extent that they're part of an ordinance.
Well, it appears that the ordinance is in, and it appears that the drawing was in that indicated that we asked Mr. Lang to get. I mean, that's.
Yeah, which you can't consider any testimony or things like that.
No, understood. Yeah. Okay. I was mainly just concerned about the documents to see that they were in fact in. Okay. We thank you. We'll see if there's anyone here.
Just procedurally,
oh,
I would like Mr. Class to come forward and affirm the statement.
Sure.
Just
go right ahead.
Our record.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You were
done. Mr. Class, did you hear the statements that we made on your
My name is Stephen Class, Georgetown Dollar.
Good job.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
You've heard the statements that we've read into the record this evening. Do you, can you affirm that we've made those records on your behalf, statements on your behalf this evening, and you accept those?
To the best of my knowledge, everything you claimed is true, and I do hereby affirm for the record.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen, too.
Yes, sir.
For your patience.
Good questions.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1817 Colonial East Limited? Okay. In favor? Come on up. Give us your name, please, and where you live.
My name is Patricia Williams, and I live at 9 Enfield Lane in Sussex East.
Okay.
And I didn't expect to speak, but I noticed you were concerned about walkways, trails, so on. We have limited access roads that are kept at 15 miles an hour or less, and everybody enjoys walking and riding on these roads, and there's no problem. Absolutely no problem. I've been here at Sussex East for 6 years with my mother, and we're very happy here. And we like the business-like way that the operation is handled. The roads are in good condition. The lights are in good condition. Everything's kept nice. There was one thing that nobody mentioned. There's a nice place secured that people can rent for securing their large vacation vehicles and boats on this property. So King's Crossing comes in from Conway, but it also connects in past the manor house into. So there's more ingress and egress than they're saying about, you know, for the front houses in Sussex West. So I hope I've made some clarifications on from the standpoint of a resident.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1817? Yes, sir. Step right up.
My name is Wayne Baker. I live on 17420 Minus Conway Road. I have probably lived on Minus Conway Road since 1975. And I think that more importantly relating to this hearing is that I came to the 1997 hearing. And there was a lot of discussion. We had a room full of people. And my objection is what amounts to putting an additional 82 homes on the 55 acres. In 1997, I and several of my neighboring communities as Edgewater Estates, Mill Pond Acres, Red Mill Farms, Mallard Point, and our other neighbors, Chuck and Elva Davidson, Dave and Susan Savak, who you have a letter from, raised objections to the expansion of Sussex West to include this 55-acre parcel. Now, Mr. Class, Balkum, and Mr. Martin. In the end, the County Council approved the conditional use to expand Sussex West by 108 units. This was done to allow Mr. Class a summer density as to the rest of the lands then developed along Minus Conway Road. This decision, none of us challenged it. We agreed that there's nothing that we could probably do, and we bought the decision that he would put 108 units on that 55 acres of ground. So this became an agreement and a compromise between all the parties involved in the public hearing in 1997. I'd like to have those minutes of that meeting made part of this hearing. We assumed, the people I just mentioned, assumed that Mr. Class would develop this parcel as the rest of the lands in the area at roughly 2 units per acre. We would think that when he granted that 108 units, that he would put the 108 units on the 55-acre parcel. Never before did we ever think that he would take and put the 108 units on 33 acres or thereabouts and come back 10 years later thinking we were all dead or gone or we would forget what was said at that point in time. I feel very strongly that Mr. Class is trying to use a familiar phrase, if you can't convince them, confuse them. And he's put a lot of facts here today, but if he did what he intended to do as a result of the 1997 decision, he would not have his stormwater pond designed to accommodate an additional 82 units. He would not have gone to DelDOT and had an entrance built to accommodate 190 units instead of 108. He had full intentions when he signed off and accepted that conditional use back in 1997 or whenever it was formally granted to him. He knew what he was going to do. Therefore, he deceived each and every one of us, you, Mr. Wheatley, and I myself as a citizen and an occupant on Minus Conway Road. If he chose, he could have put those 108 units on the whole 55 acres and had all kinds of open space within that development. He didn't have to crowd them together and condense them into 33 acres, and that's what he did. So here's my statement on that.
And I was trying to keep up with you, Wayne. Huh? I was trying to keep up with you.
Well, I said a little bit more than what's in there, but that's what fine. I believe in.
Thank you.
He said in 1999, he had the build-out addition approved, and it included these 82 lots. How could he possibly have gone into DelDOT in good conscience and asked to put 190 units on something that 2 years prior he'd received a conditional use for 108 units? How could you do that? I don't understand. The vegetated buffer along Minus Conway Road, he has never done one thing to that buffer which is nothing more than a hedgerow that started growing there back in the 70s or 60s. And it's just a row of trees, hodgepodge, wild cherries, whatever else. They came up along, used to be an old fence there. I remember, I lived there now since 1975 on Monas Conway Road, Route 265. Knew what was growing there. And he's not added any plants, which few of them have blown over, but he's not replaced any. And it's probably as wide as this tabletop if you take away the canopies. Everything's right next to the road. It's not set back from the road. He spent $0 on that, quote, 50-foot vegetated buffer, that he called it, along Monas Conway Road. The stormwater, again, the same issue arise. He said tonight that he had his stormwater pond approved in 1999, 8, or just 190 years. What person goes out and designs a stormwater management pond for an additional 87 units when you know that you've only got 108 units? So he had full intention, again, of saying that he was going to do something in 1999 later because he designed for it today. And he's tried to pull the wool over our eyes again. Again, I'm a man of my word. He gave me something to do and told me I could build 108 units on it. I would do that. And I don't doubt if I'd ever come back to ask you for a change. I don't see where there's been any change in the community or the environment of any of those developments that I mentioned. We're all developed. Edgewater Estates is half-acre lots. Red Mill Farms, half-acre lots. My property is 18 acres. Chuck and Elva's 30-some acres. Dave Shavok's is whatever it is, 50-some acres. Brittany Acres is 2 or 3 acres per lot. And yet he comes in and says, I'm entitled to 4 units per acre. Thereabouts. I ask you to deny the amended version of this conditional ordinance, and that's all I have to say.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Karen Laura. I live on Minas Conway. I actually live in Brittany Acres, right across the entrance to their subdivision, Sussex West. And the thing I like to bring up is the traffic on the road, for one. We have Nassau Grove at one end. We have that's overdeveloped. And then the other end, we have a townhouse subdivision that Ryan did. And now he wants to add to his community. The traffic out there is horrendous. I have made numerous attempts to reduce the speed limit, to get signs put up. I have had good luck with some of that, getting it reduced to 35. People still go 60, 70. The traffic's terrible. The community is a wonderful community, but it is crowded as it is now. The only other thing I like to say is a stormwater that they have set up. My neighbors across the street are on the south side of Brittany Acres. They have had numerous problems with their Leland cypress that surround our development. The water between Ryan Homes, I really don't understand what the problem is, but when they get an overfill from their their wastewater pond, it runs across and it comes down through the trees, has killed numerous Leland cypress. And we've tried to do something about that to no avail. So I guess I really don't understand how somebody can come back and ask for increased density, but I would like you to consider at least those 2 points, that there is a problem with their wastewater retention, or not the wastewater, I'm sorry, their stormwater area, and there is a problem with the traffic on the road.
So, is that the stormwater management pond that relates to the Sussex West, or the stormwater pond relating to the condos on Route 9?
It's actually owned by Sussex West. It was put in by them.
Yeah, I understand that. You're talking about the pond they have.
There was some kind of, when my neighbors looked into the problem, and I don't remember, I know they spoke with Joe Booth about it and tried to get some help with it. They did speak with, Ryan Holmes was developing at the time, that subdivision. And there was some kind of, I don't know if Mr. Klass would be able to clarify that, but I thought there was some kind of an agreement between the two developments to use that stormwater area somehow.
Okay,
but in fact, it was running.
Reserves at Lewis Landing across right now.
No, I'm actually talking about the. It's a townhouse subdivision. I can't even think the
Mills
name
Chase.
Of it. Mills
okay.
Chase. Thank you.
Okay, got it. That's what I thought you were talking about.
But it's a problem resulting from that stormwater area running off, and we get a lot of water. My neighbors, Mercadonis across the street, have actually had water sitting and have had their Lelands, which are 80 feet tall or whatever, have suffered. They're probably almost dead as it is. But I just don't understand if they're saying that it's built to hold 190 units, and we haven't had a lot of rain, but if that becomes an issue again, where is all that water going to go? I mean, it's going to end up down and flow back and end up in Red Mill Pond, or where does that water go? So.
They may know, and I'll ask them for you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Ms. Valley, did somebody on your team want to respond to the lady's question? Yeah, up here.
Mm-hmm. That water does reach Red Mill Pond, and that drainage pattern has existed long before Brittany Acres or Sussex West was even developed. Okay. I submit that perhaps, I don't know when this problem has occurred with the Leland Cypress, but if there's been a recent development and there's been a recent problem with the Leland Cypress. I mean, they don't get 80 feet tall without having, good soil and good growing. So it sounds like it's a new problem, not a existing problem. That stormwater pond's been there for over 10 years, correct? So perhaps that was a new development problem.
All right, sir. Okay. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Step right up.
Hi, my name's Frances Baker, and I'm the wife of Wayne Baker. We also live on Minas Conaway Road.
We have our condolences.
17420 Minas Conaway Road. I've lived there for 28 years and just wanted to address the same problems that Karen Laura addressed, which is the traffic on Minas Conaway Road as it is today. We live on a small horse farm, 18 acres, and have horses. And it's very difficult to walk on Minas Conaway Road or bike, let alone try to get out there with the horses. There has been a fatality already at the intersection of Minas Conaway Road and Route 9. And we live on a curve in the road and constantly get our mailbox wiped out from the traffic speeding around that curve. And I can also attest to the stormwater management problem that Karen was talking about. We've had a drought, I guess, for the last couple of years, so it hasn't been as bad. But the two stormwater management ponds connect. The one that is on the right-hand side of Minas Conaway Road and then the one that is shared by Sussex West, and one overflows into the other. And even now, with the drought that we've had, if you ride past there, you can see that there's still quite a bit of water in that pond. And the vegetative buffer that's been talked about for quite some time, Mr. Class talked about that when he proposed his original proposal back 11 years ago. The vegetative buffer is, as my husband Wayne said, it's just scrubby trees that continue to fall down, and they collect the trash that blows through from the developing. So I would hope that you would deny this application and leave it as it is with the density. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? Before we adjourn, I do want to just to clarify for everyone that this is a conditional use application. The applicant always has the right to ask. They can ask, okay? And that's why we're all here, to decide whether or not it's appropriate. And I promise to all of you our best efforts in doing that. And with that, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.